Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wamit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello, welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League Podcast. I'm your host, LeZero, and I'm joined by Le Awesomeness, or Dr. Ukulele, whatever you want to call him, one of the longest, serving patrons. Is that even the right way to put it? I don't know. But welcome. How do you feel about being on the show for the first time?
Well, you know, amazing, of course. On my favorite podcast that I've only listened all the way through, more times than most people, you know.
I don't think anyone's listened to it more than you have. I think that's a fact. Actually, okay. Now that I've thought about this, I'm like, we haven't done a survey in a while, so I feel like that, like, you know, November, December, we should do another survey going into the 50th year anniversary.
Well, let me know so I can re-listen to the entire podcast and show everybody up.
How many times have you listened to the entire show? It will be one of the questions. I guess one thing that I need to get your reaction on right away is, how do you feel about the switch from the pre-show energy to the main episode energy? What's your feeling about that? Is it jarring? Are you doing okay?
No, this is kind of how I assumed it went, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, I should have said the intro even faster, just to like really switch it up on you. But yeah, we are in our show. We are in the main show, the main Rocket League show, our flagship show. We are getting close to episode 250, which we are going to try desperately to coincide with the 50th year anniversary. We couldn't have done it without, you know, patrons such as Dr. Ukulele, Law Awesomeness, or Awesomeness. I'm going to keep going between those three until the end of the episode. Without the help of fine folks like yourself. So, with that in mind, what am I going to do now?
Segway.
Well, no, desperately try to get to the patrons while you continue talking. There it is. You know, listen, we got a few tropes. I feel like someone who's listened to it, you know, listened to us so many times should, like, know them by now, but I don't know.
Technically, it's a segue, so.
You're not wrong. Zodiac22, Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Awesomeness, Digital Toast, Paint, Young Slug, and PK, thank you so much for your continued support. And now my throat's gone, and that'll be the end of that, but no, we're gonna get into it. So, thank you for your continued support. We're going to the main show, main episode, and there's only one topic that I really brought you on for, Awesomeness, okay? And it's to serve an voiced class in the Rocket League scene, okay? A class of players that sometimes we talk about on the show, and they feel like, you know, their voices aren't heard. They feel like, you know, sometimes some of the topics, you know, especially Wabs these days, like, you don't even know what he's talking about now. He has like a PhD in Rocket League now. Like, it just gets far-fetched, right? And I'm talking about, you know, the everyday Rocket League player that doesn't, you know, sometimes on our show we don't. You know, appeal to you enough, and you're here as the sole representative. You actually represent every player in Diamond and below. So I just want you to know that. That's the pressure I'm putting on you for this episode.
Then I would like to apologize to everybody Diamond and below for what's about to happen here.
Fair. But I think, like, in a couple episodes back, and I think we did this with Wabs, I've done this with Cursor, I think I've even done it with Messi, we've kind of went through different ranks and said different things, right? Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, what Do you feel like there's certain things that are talked about these lower ranks that are just like untrue? Like it's just assumptions players that play in higher ranks have about these other ranks that are just no longer true. If you have any of those, we'd like to go through them, dissect them right now.
I mean, I would say there definitely can be. Mm-hmm. Kind of depends. I think for anybody who listened to the last episode where Wabbits had his epiphany with playing down, that, you know,
comparatively,
yes, like the lower ranks, garbage. But you know, those people are playing peak rank. You know, like leave those people alone. Okay.
Do you feel like Wabs? Well, my problem with Wabs's revelation is that I think the part that he missed. So essentially, Wabs said like when you play down, you have to like play as badly as people there. Is that about the assumption? Am I remembering this correctly?
That's about accurate. He was pretty much the
like, assume they're gonna miss. Everyone's gonna miss.
Your teammates are that the opponents are just as bad as your teammates.
Yes. Yeah. The only problem is I think if you do that, it's one of those things where I understand his sentiment, but I think if you actually think people are bad, then they'll just hit the net and you'll just get scored on from time to time. Like, I don't know. I feel if you start thinking like that, it's going to be like, even if they hit it like 1 in 10 times, they're going to hit it once and you're like, well, I didn't expect that. Which I guess maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is like 9 times out of 10, they will play it badly. And so if you're assuming that, then you can like predict harder. Yeah, it's interesting. How do you feel about the assertion? I think Cursor is the one who mentioned this about when Diamond players on defense tend not to go. Like they'll go very aggressively in offense, but on defense they'll be like super timid to go. Is that a fair assumption? We're debunking myths right now.
See, the thing about that is, right, is me personally. I'm a mm-hmm. very, I've always been like a very good defender. I've played like a very good third man role. So I learned pretty quick in like low diamond to challenge. But as someone who's kind of dipped in and out of like the champ ranks and in like back down into diamond and playing with diamonds, that is something I kind of noticed. Just in general of the lower ranks mm-hmm. is that a lot of people are very confident in their offense, but not a lot of people are very confident in their defense.
And so what happens because of that?
When people, you know, start to learn how to shadow defend or how to defend a little bit better, they're very hesitant to actually like challenge the ball. Because they don't know how to take a challenge. They're not used to taking defensive challenges and making sure the ball goes where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. So instead, they get this weird hesitation where they want to go, but they're choosing not to go to try and play safer, in quotations, safer. Mm. So it's one of those things where I think it's less that they're not willing to go, but more that they're hesitating to do so.
But do you, and this is like what I get a sense sometimes, right? When I'm playing like on my upper, we'll say my upper upper ceiling, right? Is that sometimes it's not even that I hesitate, it's that you don't even have the, like there's some balls that are moving so quickly like around the boards or what have you that you don't have the confidence to go for it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like mm-hmm. that lack of confidence leads to hesitation. With Rocket League, and this is going to be a tip, if you're unsure whether you should go or not, don't go. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, what I learned to help me build confidence and to not hesitate so much is to actively tell yourself whether you're going to go or not. Mm-hmm. So if you don't decide to immediately go, reposition. Otherwise, tell yourself you're going for the ball, and regardless of what happens, go for it. Because that's kind of verbal confirmation. When you make a mistake, you'll remember.
that, you know, when you tell yourself you're not going, that verbal confirmation, if you make a mistake, you'll remember. Instead of just kind of doing that thing that I think all low-ranking players do, which is kind of drive backwards and forwards in the net really awkwardly. It's like, how does that help you?
At least do the circle. You know, if you're not going to go, at least do a half circle around your, around your, what's it called? Your crease, your area there.
Yeah.
I think it's also really interesting to like think about, how it's one of those things. If you like, you see a pro do something like that, you just assume they like they've calculated all the possibilities, right? When they're doing those like sitting in a net or something, right? They're like, I'm confident enough to get to any ball that comes this way. While I think maybe that's a tough thing when you're in lower ranks. It's like, okay, somebody decides not to go for the ball, but they also kind of just sit there. So like, I suppose to add to this tip, I would say if you're gonna be passive, you're gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna defend, then flip out and go to the back post so it's very clear to your teammates that they can go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're the first person that's supposed to go for the ball and you just do a turn and then you go back to the back post, the teammate knows to go, right? So I think that's an important tip.
Yeah, especially because, you know, Rocket League without comms is all car language. Like, you have to try and interpret what your teammate is doing by the way that they move around the field.
Mm.
So in lower ranks, it's very difficult, obviously, because everything is so chaotic and unplanned and just all over the place. So I feel like making those bigger rotations in the lower ranks definitely helps kind of convey to your teammates what you are doing.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Is there stuff like if you ever played up or as you're playing down that you notice like the way people convey is worse or better? Because I like, for instance, I'm right now I'm champ one and I'm actually starting to hit like closer to champ two. Mm-hmm. And for me, this has become again like a jump up for me, just because I hadn't played for so long that like just now I'm getting back into it. And I find that like my ability to predict what people can do and can't do is now gone again, because I have to like relearn how people aren't really showing, people are just going, right? So you'll get more double commits and you can't hesitate, but also if two people go in, you have to like kind of do this half turn. So like I find like the body language of the way people are playing is actually worse, because I don't know if they're going or not. And maybe when you're playing at your upper like ceiling, it's almost like you just kind of have to guess sometimes, because people are just trying to get to the ball as quickly as possible, right? Like they start cutting more, and that's kind of part of the game. Like whoever's closest should go for the ball. But to be able to read when to cut or when not to cut, I think it gets harder again because people are just flying all over the place.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing about when people do start to get more confident kind of closer to the champ ranks, I would say. Mm-hmm. People definitely get a lot more confident in their ability to do what they want with the ball. Mm-hmm. And kind of pull off slightly harder mechanics. So I feel like when it comes to like low champ, even, or like low champ, high diamond, you really just have to take that first minute to kind of see how people play the game.
Mm.
And if you kind of realize this one player is cutting a lot, then you just, you know, give them some space or just stuff like that. Especially like, because I feel like now,
mm-hmm.
the lower ranks are way better than they used to be. Of course, you know, mm-hmm. a lot more low diamond players are actually able to, or even down like into gold. A lot of gold players now are able to actually like do stuff with the ball, whether that be like when I was coming up the ranks, I've made a few friends playing Rocket League, and meeting some people who were in the lower ranks who were only bad because they were trying to do too much with the ball, mm-hmm. because they just had so much that they could do. I feel like that's where the issue starts to creep in of just being overconfident. Like,
oh, so there's certain players that they actually have learned so many skills, but they don't know how to apply them at all. So they have a lot of things in their toolbox that can do. They do it inconsistently, and as they're playing, because they have all these options, they just end up not doing anything.
Yeah, like I used to know a gold player whose like entire focus of the game was just his ground play. Like he was just godly at dribbling the ball for a gold player. Mm-hmm. But as soon as anybody like challenged him, or anybody, you know, kept it up in the air or did anything like even remotely a little more fancy with the ball, he was just totally lost. So it's like, yeah, he's got a really good ground game and could fake anybody in the low ranks, but he's not ranking up because all it takes is one person to be confident in their challenge for him to lose the ball.
And so when that happens...
Yeah, and then his teammates, of course, are just left back there by themselves. Like, well, I guess the ball's coming this way now.
How many T-ups do you see? I think that's the one thing I want to know. Like, where someone's like, I finally learned how to dribble the ball in my car, and then they just tee people up for shots on the net.
You know, for some reason, I feel like it gets worse the higher
it gets worse. Interesting. Explain that.
Because people get so confident with their ability to dribble the ball that they will catch it literally like right in front of their net and then dribble it out. And it's like, it's great that you're confident enough to catch the ball where you caught it, but in front of the net ain't it? Like, why? That is not an okay place to catch the ball. Or so I play in two different leagues, mm-hmm. like two different Rocket League leagues, and two of my teammates in one of the leagues I play in are slightly lower than me in rank, but they're way better mechanically.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of times that I have watched them catch the ball on the sidewall, and then because they're facing the net, dribble it across the net, is just like, it's totally ridiculous. It's like, don't do that. Don't. Why? Take the ball anywhere else, please.
and like I think those are things too. Like is your awareness, because you're someone who's played so much of the game, right?
Yeah.
I imagine your awareness of danger is probably a lot better than a lot of these players, even if you're in the same rank. Like there's some players that just aren't aware of like what they're doing is like actually risky or not risky, right? Like I think there's probably a transition where hitting the ball in front of your own net, like passing it in, you know, just off the boards, becomes safe again. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, like, because you're like once you're getting to a higher champ, like your teammates should be ready for you to bounce it off and be there before the attackers are there. And if they're not, then they just didn't react fast enough. So even though it's like quote unquote risky play, if people are ready for it, it's not actually that risky. So I wonder if you find like there's like a lot of risk averse. I just wonder how many people actually have a really good grasp of the game and how many people are just kind of like getting away with mechanics and in Diamond. Probably.
Because well, I would definitely say like obviously you can split players into two groups of the like mechanical versus the rotational, which I view rotation as a mechanic, but that's not what this podcast is about right now. So
we'll
leave that there for now. But I would say the players who come up as more rotational players like myself, who don't focus super hard on mechanics, mm-hmm. have maybe a better understanding of kind of what is risky and what isn't, because they tend to, since they're not very mechanical, they have to take their opportunities on the ball a little more carefully because they can't do nearly as much,
mm-hmm.
as to where a mechanical player in the lower ranks typically can get by until like high champ on just mechanics alone, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of learning where that risk aversion is, I feel like, is a lot harder for players who focus solely on mechanics as their way of ranking up.
And like, but then like it's so tough because sometimes those players can get away with just continuing to do what they're doing because people around them will adjust, right?
Like, well, yeah, because, you know, how is a gold going to defend another gold that can flip reset on them? You know what I mean?
So all that person's going to do until low diamond, when people start to actually know how to aerial, is just going to keep flip resetting until they get into low diamond, where people start to aerial more.
What can be done about this, I feel? Is it undeserved, though, or do they actually deserve the rank?
I mean, I would say they deserve the rank, personally, because even though players aren't well-rounded, like, it's sooner or later a non-well-rounded player will stop ranking up. And if they've spent the time and energy to learn mechanics and they're using them and scoring goals, then I see no reason that they shouldn't continue to rank up.
But it just feels bad, you know?
Oh, yeah. Nobody likes getting flip reset on or, you know, air dribble bumped in low ranks, because that's the one skill that this person's been practicing and can pull off, you know, one of 10 times.
I feel like I digressed a little bit. But yeah, risk aversion. That's what we were talking about.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, with risk aversion, you know, if you can flip reset in a low rank, why wouldn't you go for flip resets in a low rank, even if it is risky? You know what I mean? So I feel like those mechanics kind of almost create risk in lower ranks, because people look at Rocket League. A lot of people look at Rocket League and they only see the fancy stuff. And they don't realize that the fancy stuff creates a lot of risk. So,
especially when you use up all your boost.
Yeah. Or even just have poor recoveries. Like,
yeah.
There are a lot of players now who can recover from one side of the field to the other with no boost in plenty of time. It's just realizing that, you know, both of my teammates are up the field, and if I do this one thing, it's going to put all of us upfield, is kind of where you get your low-ranking players to your high-ranking players.
Yep. I don't have anything more to add. That's why I'm just like, I think we've covered this a lot. Okay. We're talking about, this is kind of a lower-ranked players episode. Not like, again, I feel like you're the king of all the lower-ranked players. How do you feel about that awesomeness?
Yes. Don't give me that crown. I don't want it. I'm trying to rank up. I don't want it.
Okay. But I mean, for the purpose of this podcast, what is not talked about enough by the more higher-ranked players and podcasts such as mine?
For lower-ranking players? I think, ultimately, a lot of Rocket League podcasts tend to have players who do end up higher ranking. Like, at the start of this podcast, obviously, like, y'all weren't as high rank as you are now. So I feel like a lot of the issues brought up for, like, tips and tricks and stuff was very, like, on point for the rank at the time. But I feel like now, a lot of those podcasts, a lot of those people are very much higher rank, right? Or even people feel now that, say, for like, you know, YouTube channels and stuff like that, that the only people who can post on there are people who are like GC or above, right? A lot of podcasts don't include low ranking players anymore, simply because they feel like the content won't be interesting. But when a majority of the player base is diamond, a lot of these people, you know, they want to ask questions. They want to bring up topics. They want to, you know, find tips and tricks that they can actually apply to their game. Because, yeah, GC can tell you, you know, what you need to do to rank up. But that doesn't necessarily help a lot of the player base from the standpoint of, okay, but, like, you understand how to do this. I need it a little bit better explained. So when y'all were still very low ranking and you brought up a lot of good points for your rank at the time, and I feel like a lot of podcasts just kind of miss out on that now. They don't have any lower ranking players to maybe ask questions or to bring up even niche questions. Like, a lot of low ranking players have small problems to fix. It's not that they, you know, can't hit the ball, or that they can't do this one mechanic, or that they can't rotate. It's that they just need to make this minor change.
So and a lot of.
Do you know what the answer is then for them?
I would say for those podcasts, they just need
for
to,
us too, right?
Just, like, yeah, for. Go ahead.
I was going to say the players specifically, right? So it's. Is it from a perspective of essentially there's some minor changes that isn't just, oh, like, learn to hit the ball, right? Which is condescending and, you know. But is it more like it's sometimes very individual habits that are kind of hard to talk about?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Of course, I would say a lot of high-ranking players have a very much more generalized view of the game.
Interesting. Right?
Which is why a lot of them plateau out at high ranks.
Whoa, the shots are being fired today.
Yeah. Because that's why you always hear, like, when high-ranking players hit GC, and then they can't rank up anymore, they just stop playing the game. And it's like, well, because now you have small issues to work on.
And that, you didn't want to work on them before.
Yeah. And the exact same thing could be said for a lot of low-ranking players. Yeah, could they learn to hit the ball better and harder and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they could also just learn to single jump on their challenges. Like, that's a minor change that can rank you up immediately.
How many players that are like champ players don't understand that if you're at a boost and you just hold A, you jump higher? Like, I don't.
Probably all of them, to be honest with you.
There you go. There's another tip for lower ranked players. Your double jump, if you hold it longer, you will jump higher without any boost.
Even I forget that.
But I mean, that one's good because I think it's one of those things where you actually start playing around with it, you can incorporate into your game, right? Like, exactly. It'll actually make a big difference. In those very tight. The first time you use it, you'll be a little confused because you'll be like, oh no, I overjumped the ball. But you'll start saying like, oh, I have no boost, but I can at least actually get some height here.
Yeah, exactly.
And then stop a shot or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're getting somewhere here. I don't know if that's the case. Okay. So we talked about that. How about positional play, like rotation wise? How do you feel like we just, like, you know, the high rank players might be like, oh, they don't rotate back bows. Oh, they don't do this, don't do that. What's the myth here? What's the secret? What's the reality?
Honestly, I'm just gonna agree with high ranking players on this one, to be honest with you.
Okay.
As somebody who plays with low ranking players, it can be miserable. Anything under GC, it's like some people know to rotate, and some people it's like they've never seen back post in their entire life. It's like the back post just doesn't exist. It's incredible.
And do you play around it, or do you just have to keep playing like consistently as if they're going to do the right thing? Because then you might get a bad habit that doesn't work as you rank up, right? If you start adjusting to them too much.
Well, I would say that's the thing that's actually kind of almost detrimental, is that you have to play, like, you have to learn to play around it.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to remember to take each game for what it is. Sometimes you'll get in a game and your teammates will rotate back post, and it's like, at that point you can't continue to just cut them off over and over and over again because you don't think they're going to go back post. However, when a majority of your games your teammates are just going to keep cutting you off, then you have to, you know, you have to make that adjustment. Let your ball chaser teammates chase the ball while you just kind of hang out and, you know, wait for your opportunities.
Okay, with that in mind, I guess my next question to you is, do you think that a lot of low-ranked players have the problem of thinking they should be high-ranked players? Like, is that in itself this is a mentality that keeps them down there, Or is this all just like a fabricated thing where I'm always like, yeah, don't worry about your rank, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but in reality, you're actually like, no, this is like a thing that you have to look at.
As a low ranking player who believes that they deserve GC, I would like to advocate for our cause.
Okay.
No, I do think it's definitely one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're good, but you need 100 more hours of practice good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can look at GC gameplay or even like a lot of players can have like a knowledge of the game higher than their rank, I would say. And I think that's what creates a lot of egos for low ranking players,
mm-hmm.
is that they're able to look at higher ranking games and predict what's going to happen, or they can read plays better than other players, or they do one thing better than most of the players at their rank. And that's what causes that mentality until they actually play someone higher ranking than them. And then they realize, oh, like I have all these flaws that I need to work on.
How about practice wise, just to switch gears here a little bit. I'm just like kind of thinking, I wonder, like, do you find yourself like as you got closer to champ, you were like less or more motivated to do like individual training packs and practice outside of, or like free play practice outside of the actual games?
So there was kind of a point in time where I was actually really dedicated to like getting good at Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
Like for an entire year, I sat down every single day and played the game. I wouldn't necessarily say that I practiced like in free play or training packs at the time, but at the same time, I was kind of supplementing that by playing hours upon hours of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you spend a year playing Rocket League for like 6 hours a day, you're bound to at least get a little better, I would hope. Now that I'm more towards my goal and realizing that the game is, you know, a lot harder and that I actually need to like work on my mechanics and being confident in hitting the ball the way I want it to be hit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Putting it where I want it to go. Now I've definitely taken a step back and been like, okay, like I need to practice. So, and I've definitely noticed the difference too. You can even like, for a lot of people, they don't necessarily notice the difference straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But when you set the game down for a little while and you come back to it, sometimes all like the difference between you playing bad that day and you playing good that day could literally be like one training pack.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been doing backboard therapy before some of my RSC matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that after doing even just a couple of shots, rotating the car and making sure that the ball goes in the net properly and getting shots that I'm actually like happy with that aren't just garbage shots, that my gameplay and my car control and everything just feels so much better in my matches for RSC.
And is that, yeah, and that's probably one of those things where like it's good to get the hours in with 6 hours a day. The only problem is like you, if you had spent like 30 minutes that day being very like particular about how you played or like you let's just say you had a good training session, right? Like maybe you'd actually build better habits, right?
Yeah,
maybe you'd actually build the right thing to do. And so like 6 hours, it's definitely a tough feeling of between you know, like, oh my goodness, I need to practice as much as we possibly can. And then it's like, what's actually helping me develop good things to do in the game, right?
Well, you want to play the game instead of practicing. And so it's understandable.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
You just want to enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
But do you still enjoy yourself when you're like 5 hours in, though? Because I feel like that, I don't care what game I'm playing, I'm probably pretty tired by that point.
At the time, as a, you know, child in high school, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, video games were like my only form of enjoyment in life, playing video games with friends or even just playing video games solo. So mm-hmm. at the time, yeah, of course. But like now that I'm an adult, after like a few hours or even just like 1 or 2 hours of playing a single game, I'm like, okay, like I could go do something else.
Well, no, like because I can really enjoy Rocket League for about an hour, right? But I find after that, like my brain gets tired and it's I think it's like one of those things where I look at it and it's like, one, I'm not ranking up at this point, you know? like my quality of play is going to go down. Also, my enjoyment's going down, right? So it's like, if those two things are happening, then what am I doing here? You know?
Yeah, you kind of lose that flow state, and you're like, well.
but I wonder when you're younger, though, there's like a certain drive, though, that also motivates you. Like, I'm going to be the best, you know? Like, that kind of, like, that's there in the back of your mind while it wouldn't be in other situations.
Well, and, you know, you don't really have anything better to do either. So for most people, at least for most kids, they're, you know, yeah, they could go help clean the house. But as a kid, who's going to go help clean the house? You're just going to play video games.
Fair enough.
But as an adult, you know, you get up at the end of the hour and you're like, I could be being productive right now instead of playing Rocket League.
Welcome to adulthood, I guess.
I know. Wonderful.
But I mean, I think that is both. It's kind of nice though that your mind's kind of switched in that ways, in some ways, right?
Yeah. Just being more feeling. I think the feeling of being productive is just way more enjoyable than getting to the end of a Rocket League session being like, "What did I actually accomplish today?"
But I mean, like, the thing is, like, at least with the Rocket League, like, I still get a kick out of, like, going to free play and doing, like, a flip reset. The fact I can do a free play set feels very rewarding in a training, you know, thing, right? So, right. I, there is still some enjoyment kind of found in that.
When your hard work pays off, yeah.
Okay, so, I have put you and grilled you and asked you about these lower-ranked players for the last, you know, over half an hour. I think it's time that you put me in the hot seat a little bit here. Okay, you ready?
I would love to.
Okay, so you are able to ask any question, preferably Rocket League-related. However, I will give you, like, if it's, like, adjacent, you know, Rocket League-adjacent, I will allow that. Mm-hmm. Anything maybe the community wants to know, anything you want to ask, this is as a representative now of everybody in the whole world that isn't me, what do you want to ask me here?
What's it like having fallen from grace, Lazero? You were GC once.
Not too bad, actually. It's not that I don't strive to get better, because I'm actually on my way back up, but I found, because I've at least hit that, like, that feeling of, oh, I want to hit GC isn't as pressing, you know? So it's actually a load off my chest. And like, some other people might look at it and it's like, that's just you coping. And maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Who knows?
I actually think that's so interesting that you have people like Cursor who their goal was GC, and now that he's hit GC, he's like, you know, I want to be SSL. And then you very much have people that are like, once they hit GC, they're like, okay, like, we're done. The game is done. I've completed my goal. I'll come back every so often to get rewards here and there. And that's that. It's just an interesting dichotomy, I feel like, for Rocket League players.
Yeah, but is that a bad thing?
I wouldn't say so. I think, you know, meeting your goals and feeling like you've accomplished something is, you know, the most people would love to feel like they've accomplished, you know, at least something. Like, they haven't just spent 1,000 hours doing nothing.
Well, like, for me, like, for instance, like, if I take StarCraft, for instance, right? I took like a complete break from that game, and I think it was like, what, 4 years ago or something, or 3 years ago. I went back and my only goal was to hit diamond. That was it. And then when I hit it, I was good. I had no further aspirations. I'm just like, this was something like 8 years before that I was really close to hitting, and now I finally hit it. So it's kind of nice. Like, that was nice. It's like, I've gotten to the level I want to in this game, and I can see myself like at this level in this game, and I have nothing else to prove, and I was totally happy with that. And I actually played a game the other day. I had a friend come over. We played StarCraft. He completely destroyed me. He was like a guy who used to be pro. So completely destroyed me. That was okay. Then we played Age of Empires. He also destroyed me, and I'm like, wow, you don't even play that much this game, you're just that good. And then we played Rocket League, and I beat him in that. But then we played 2v2 Rocket League, and it was actually pretty cool, because He was playing mouse and keyboard. I'm like, this is not going to go well. And we played some 2v2s online, and we just played one, really. But we managed to win it, and I was very happy. But the point was, like, everything in that game was accomplished. I don't think I necessarily have a set goal at Rocket League, right? Like, I think one thing that Rocket League has become for me, actually, kind of on this topic, is that it's my most relaxing game, if that makes sense. It is the most flow statey game for me. So if I really just want to unwind, I think it is the most for that, right? Like, I'm you know, FC24 came out, so I'm playing a bit of that. And that game, I can only play like 3 or 4 games, and then I'm kind of like, good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I really want to play it, then I play a couple games, and then I'm good, right? And then with Rocket League, I can just like put a podcast on and just play a couple games, and I find myself more drawn to just playing, especially maybe the speed of the games, right? Like, there's not that much commitment, and it's just a lot faster. Like, it's just, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just flowing, I'm just playing, and I think that's maybe my relationship with the game now.
And do you think that was still the case when you were a full-time host of ASAP, of the Rocket League podcast? Or would you say that it's definitely changed since then?
I think if we hadn't done what we did this past year, I don't know what it would have happened. I mean, you can already kind of see it right now. Like these episodes are coming out a little later, right? You know, I'm not saying you're a replacement. Hold on, let me... but like, for instance, we just a lot of scheduling conflicts and stuff, so we've had a tougher time the last couple weeks, but like, that's what a lot of last year was, right? Just before we kind of took on Messi and Cursor, we had a lot of trouble trying to kind of really like just make sure we're releasing episodes. So it's one of those things where... Are you saying that I think when I was really serious in the game, so like the first 2 years, I don't think there's ever a problem with it. Does that make sense? Like, I'd be more playing because that was just my drive to be like the absolute best of this game. But I think this is probably a lot better for the podcast stake because I'm not burnt out from the game. So like, I kind of took like, what, 5 months? I don't really have internet, right?
Right.
So it was kind of nice because now I just have this thing where every time, like every so often, I'm just like, hey, I'll just play some game. Like, it's actually in me to just like pop it on, play a couple games and off. And while there's probably a point before that where I wasn't playing at all, and then you're trying to do the podcast, and that's doesn't work. It's tough. It's tough. Because if you're not playing, it's even harder to just be watching, right? Like, I think at least. Of the two things there.
So the podcast has always kind of been a less of a, like, how do I put it? It's more been like a side by side for you than something that you were like playing Rocket League because of.
No, I would have, I don't think I've ever been like, I'm playing Rocket League because I have a podcast, right? I don't know if that's ever been a thing that I've decided.
Right.
So I don't know what that means, but...
Well, I feel like that would...
That answers the questions,
best,
right?
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like that's what would have been best for the podcast anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Not feeling like you have to, but because you want to instead... Really?
Well, if I'm already... Like, let's say I was already burnt out of just playing the game, right? Like, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, forcing myself to do stuff like that would bring, like, make the podcast any better, I guess is the point.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Not really. When are you going to adopt me for real, Zero?
What do you mean by adopt?
I'm your adoptive son.
I will not be adopting you at any point.
Via a stream that if you didn't catch, you wouldn't understand what is going on here. But,
well, I think you already explained it, so.
You know.
Yeah. I don't think that's a question that, I don't think I need an answer. I answered it, and we're moving on.
Darn. We'll try again next year, lads.
Is there anything like that you're curious about podcast wise, maybe?
Podcast wise? I mean, I think I got a lot of my questions out on Q&As that y'all went over podcast.
That's true. You have contributed to a lot of Q&As.
I was gonna say mostly just because I never, expected to get this form of chance. I think it was, I knew I could ask questions. I just never expected to do it in person. So I was like, I got to the point where I was like, I'm curious about some stuff. I'll just throw the questions into the questions channel and see what happens. And I think
you have to bring that back. Is that what you're telling me here? We gotta bring. Well, it's not that it's gone. I don't think we've gotten many questions in the last little bit. It was a good thing though. It was a great way to kind of be like, oh, we don't know what's going on in the show this week, or we need something for like 10 minutes, and Q&A is perfect for that, right?
Right. I would say so. I quite enjoy, hearing y'all actually do more long form, like question. Topic specific question content, kind of hearing what other people in the server have questions about, or kind of like even questions that I personally would never have thought of come up for discussion, and hearing y'all's takes and doing that thing where I pause the podcast and then talk to myself for 30 minutes about the topic y'all just went over.
Actually, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean that's why you're so ready for this podcast. You've been practicing.
Sometimes y'all have takes and I'm just like, no, and I have to like have a whole conversation with myself, and okay. It's like, maybe my take is terrible because I've just talked it out.
I mean, I can guarantee you Wabs and I have had so many takes on so many things, we will not remember them by the next week. However, if you ever do have those, if you want to write them down or throw it in the questions, your take on our takes, I think that'd be really fun, because then we get some other perspective, because we don't really get checked a lot by a lot of people. Like a lot of people just let us say stuff and then they just leave it on the internet. So I don't know how I feel about that. So feel free to do that. Okay. I think maybe like as we're kind of closing up this different episode, there were like a bunch of like esports stuff that we're going to leave that to next week. Whoever's on, if it's me or some of the other guys, I think the last thing is, what would you like to see? Either, and I'm trying to think of like, there's things that obviously I haven't done in a while. We haven't done tournaments, we haven't done all that, and it's just not in the cards right now, right? But is there certain things about the episodes themselves, maybe about the things we put on Patreon? Like, what are some things maybe that you'd like to see in the future?
I feel the podcast right now is a lot of flat planes. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of corners going on anymore. So maybe some corners and some jingles would be nice. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, interesting. Okay. So we need at least to table it. So like when you're listening at work, you can kind of be like, okay, this is where we are in the show right now.
I mean, I think that could be, nice. Or I just miss corners. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, you and Relentless both. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. I thank Dr. Awesomeness. Maybe in a future episode that's not so acute interview format, which I like doing from time to time, especially in the first podcast I'm with someone, but maybe it'd be fun to have you on like on an esports type thing or something more like long form discussion where we just have two topics and maybe like Wabs is on as well or stuff like that, right? So I think that might be fun. So just potential future things. I'm not locking you down or anything. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And I guess the last thing, the most important thing, do you have any homework for our listeners?
First, I would like to say that I'm realizing I'm gonna have to listen to this podcast when it comes out and hear my own voice. So that should be wonderful.
Okay.
But homework. Let's see. If anything, for those who do still listen to the podcast, maybe throw a question in or two, or maybe say hi. You know what I'm saying? Get some new friends from the Discord channel to play Rocket League with. I know a lot of you are skulking around and need people to play Rocket League with. I see you guys out here, okay? Like, make some new friends. Make some new friends to play Rocket League with. That's my homework to you guys.
Amazing. All right. So with that all being said, thank you all for listening. There's definitely, if you're interested in esports, there's been like some heavy esports discussion happening, which I haven't even gotten into track of, but like they just went wild there. So if you're into that, definitely join the Discord, and we'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.